You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. What happened yesterday that had everybody lifting off? There were so many great dunks yesterday. Something was in the shoes, something was in the air, but it was a day to just yam all over people. And who better to talk about a great night of basketball than Adam Mattes, the host of Locked On Nuggets, here again on the Locked On Wolves podcast. Thanks for coming on, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
I wanted to get to this really quickly because we've got a lot to talk about with the Nuggets and the Timberwolves facing off on Wednesday. But real quick, what was one of your favorite dunks last night? Because you had Dwight Howard with a great dunk on Beasley. John Collins had the nice dunk on Deion Waiters. You had great dunks from the Lakers game with Clarkson and with Nance and with Randall. You had a great dunk from Rozier to finish off the Celtics game. What was the best dunk from last night, do you think?
Well, I only saw one of them. I only saw the Larry Nance Jr. one, so I have to go with that one since it's the only one I saw. But it was a fantastic dunk. I mean, if I was only going to see one, I have a feeling that was a great one to see because that was just crazy.
Oh, my goodness. All over Durant. Holy, he just got up. And Randall had a nice dunk on him, too. Just Durant really just from the motivation standpoint and from morale, he needed that game winner just to come back from a night where he was just getting dunked all over.
I think so, probably. He's been such a good rim protector this year. I guess it happens to your best shot blockers. You get dunked on, so I'm all right with it.
It was a good night to have some dunks after retiring two jerseys. I just hope they retire one mic after I'm done with this job, but they retired two jerseys for Kobe. What an honor. What a player. Good night for the Lakers, even though they lost. It was a fun basketball game. And some very interesting basketball for our two teams as we dive into the Nuggets night, the Timberwolves night, and then preview that matchup and talk a little bit about where that division's at, where the conference is at. But first, a very close set of games as the Nuggets went down to the Thunder by a point, whereas the Timberwolves just slid past the Portland Trailblazers by a point. Where do you want to start? You want to start with the Nuggets or you want to start with the Timberwolves and their win?
Might as well do the Nuggets. Let's get
them out of the way real quick. Just that was a really tight game. 38 points. The Thunder needed every single drop of Westbrook's performance to get past the Nuggets. What were your takeaways from this game?
Well, for the Nuggets perspective, they have a lot of interesting stuff going on right now. You know, they lost Paul Millsap about a month ago, and that was a real blow. But almost immediately after losing Millsap, they lost Nikola Jokic to an ankle injury. So he missed a bunch of games. He came back two games ago, but in both games, he's come off the bench. And that's kind of a strange thing. You know, a lot of times when guys have an ankle injury, if they come off the bench, it's for a game. Jokic, they've done it now two games in a row, and I think it's a little bit strange. So that's one of the storylines. But the other one that I think Wolves fans will be interested in, and then it's brought up Torrey Craig, their two-way player from the G League, who's been, I mean, he's putting up LeBron-like stats in the G League through his games. I mean, 30 points, like 7 rebounds, 7. I mean, he's just absolutely dominating the G League. They brought him up, and they put him in the starting lineup for two games, and he's been really, really impressive. He shot 100% from the field last night, and he guarded Russell Westbrook and did a great job for 2.5 quarters. You mentioned Westbrook's 38 points. He had 26 in the second half and kind of went into God mode. But I think Torrey Craig is a guy that's been really, really interesting to watch over the last couple games because of how well he's played.
I was talking with somebody who comes on the show regularly, Dane Moore, I believe it was yesterday, about this, where you had the game where Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, they all put up 20 points, looked like they had figured out how to kind of play together just a little bit, and then they come out and George has 8, Carmelo has 4, and you have Russell Westbrook just taking over another game in the fourth quarter. was this where a game where if you have all of your pieces, you probably win this game just because you have Russell Westbrook feeling like he needs to win the game on his own, and so he kind of goes into isolation basketball. Is this one of those games that just kind of slipped just because of just bad, ill-timed injuries and just some guys needing to recover, Jokic still coming off the bench, him needing to get back into full form and really come back from that ankle injury? This seems like a game that you guys win if they don't have those injuries.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, a one-point game that went down to the wire, and Jokic, his offense, I think, looks okay. He's always been slow. It's his defense, and people are going to laugh. Jokic has been a really good defender this year. Really, really, really good defender. And with coming back from this ankle injury, he just is way too slow, especially for a guy like Russell Westbrook. He looks like he's standing in quicksand. So I think if you just get Jokic like 10% better, he makes one more stop, and the Nuggets pull this game out. So I think definitely being shorthanded hurts.
Well, and two, it's just that's still the problem with the Thunder, and it's very relevant because both of our teams are in the same division and as well as the same conference. But it's really nice that the Thunder have a way of taking their own superstars out of games when Russell Westbrook does this kind of going into, like you said, going into God mode, and he really you see the decrease of shots for both Anthony and George, and that helps just from a defensive perspective. If you know that you can get Westbrook into isolation mode, where he's gonna kind of neutralize Paul George and Anthony out there.
Yeah, you know, this game actually felt like Westbrook played facilitator for 2.5 quarters and it wasn't working. They were down 10 points, and Paul George 3 of 13 on the night. He just couldn't get going. Carmelo Anthony, same thing. He couldn't really get going. So I thought Westbrook took over by necessity more than anything else. And actually, I actually think that's the only way Russell Westbrook knows how to play effectively. So he had enough time to kind of take over a game. He got in a groove. He was 16 of 28. So he shot 57% en route to 38 points.
Paul George did not have a great night shooting. Although Carmelo Anthony, he only got 6 shots. He's definitely a player I feel like he needs to kind of shoot himself into a hot streak, and he's got to have more than 6 if you expect him to actually participate in the game. And I know that there's not a lot that Carmelo Anthony does off ball, and some of that is on him, but at the same time, he does have to get more shots. And so I do feel like the Nuggets did a great job of getting Westbrook to play a little more isolation, which is, I think, what you want in the end is when you're playing one guy as opposed to the three.
Well, it didn't work for Denver. He went for 38, 9, and 6.
It was also a
tour of force in that fourth quarter. I think he scored like 14 straight points or something. So I think you're right. Like, it is a good strategy, but unfortunately, he just didn't miss in this game. He really got his footing.
Well, that's one of those risks that you run is you do have to isolate to maybe get Russell Westbrook, the only one playing, but then again, it is Russell Westbrook playing, so he's going to put up some points. All right, so sliding over to the Timberwolves victory, really tight game. You had 21 points from Jamal Crawford and Jimmy Butler combining for 21 to finish out this game and just edge out the Trailblazers. Great back-and-forth battle. The Trailblazers have been in a couple really tight games in the fourth quarter the last few times they've headed out onto the court, and the Timberwolves able to get the better of the Trailblazers. Jimmy Butler with 37 points, 23 points from Jamal Crawford. At the end of the day, this was another great example. Jimmy Butler's been doing it all December where he takes over the game in the fourth quarter. This was another great performance from the Timberwolves. Just a phenomenal way to start off this week of a couple tough games, Portland, and then you have Denver on Wednesday. There was already, I think, some importance going into, we're kind of head towards that Christmas break a little bit, and you want the Timberwolves to win these games. You want Portland to be winning, or not Portland, Denver to be winning these games. So there was a little bit of importance and emphasis headed into this meeting between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. How much more interesting is this game now that you have both teams coming off these one-point tight performances?
I don't think anything changes really just because of that game. I think it's always interesting watching Minnesota and Denver play. The division thing, obviously, the playoff race, obviously, but just, you know, they're both built around their young centers in Towns and Jokic, and I just think it's an interesting matchup. Jokic coming off the injury lessens it a little bit just because I feel like he's 75%, and those guys are such good players that, you know, that really shifts the advantage in Towns' favor. But last year, Jokic is a guy, he's a superstar who doesn't, like, ever force anything. Like, he just takes what the defense gives him and scores when he's supposed to, pass when he's supposed to. I thought last year, two of the four times they played, Jokic played so aggressively trying to score. And it makes me think that he takes this matchup very personally. And it wasn't a good thing. He tried to score, and I think he had one of his worst shooting nights where he rarely takes more than 20 shots. He was, like, 5 for 25 or something in a game. So I think it's interesting just to watch, for me, from my perspective, how Jokic approaches that game and how Towns approaches that game, and just see if those guys continue to try to show each other up.
Oh, I would equate it to when Joel Embiid came to Minneapolis and how he had been sitting out a couple games and then he came out and got up for that game. I think that these young guys not only know that they have a lot of talent, but they see other guys in the about the same position who have that same amount of talent, and they really want to put up a show against them and trying to prove that they're the better of the kind of group of this centers that we have in the NBA right now. And so I think it makes for some really great battles. Is maybe a little bit of Jokic coming off the bench still, maybe his coach knowing that he's really going to try hard in this Timberwolves game and push himself in the Timberwolves game and trying to preserve some of Jokic for this game, because he knows that there's no real holding him back. Even if he plays 25 minutes, they're going to be 25 hard minutes.
I don't think so. I think Jokic's ankle just isn't right, and you can kind of see it in his play. I think he's good enough to go, but he went down yesterday, and everybody thought he re-injured the ankle, and we're waiting for the replay saying something terrible happened. He just kind of like stubbed his toe and he got hurt. So that just shows you how tender that ankle is, that any tiny little like awkward movement hurts him. So I think that Malone just knows he's not like 80 or 90%. He's like 70, 75%. And because of that, he's going to limit his minutes. And I think the easiest way to get a rotation going, if you know a guy's only going to play 20 to 25 minutes, you can put him on the bench and then you can just play your regular rotation.
We're going to keep diving into this matchup and keep breaking down the Nuggets Timberwolves. It's going to be a really big game. I think we're going to learn a lot about both teams after this game, but first we're going to have a word from some sponsors. Heading into this game, like you mentioned, the highlight is Towns, even if he still has some injury, Towns versus Jokic. But I think one of the big headlines also will be Jamal Crawford after his 23-point night from the Portland game. They played so well in the fourth quarter, and as somebody who covers the Timberwolves, it's really encouraging to see them really close out a game well, 32 points in that fourth quarter. Jamal Crawford is going to be somebody who's dangerous off the bench. I think he's probably going to play more minutes here finishing out December. He had 22 minutes against the Portland Trailblazers. Is there somebody to combat what he does off the Denver Nuggets bench?
I don't think there's somebody that can guard him is one of the issues, because you look at if Torrey Craig stays with the Nuggets, he's for a couple more games, like I hope he does, he's a elite defender. You could throw him on Jimmy Butler and maybe he slows him down a little bit. But then there's nobody really to guard Jamal Crawford. Gary Harris, maybe, but he has a hard time with those types of players that, you know, step-back jump shooters like that. So I think that's the hard part. And then scoring in the fourth quarter has been a problem for Denver. They're a team that really scores off of good ball movement. And just they play this really beautiful style of play that works really well for 3.5 quarters, but they don't have a guy that steps up and can just ISO at the end of games. I think that means they need to go the Spurs route and just learn to execute even into the, you know, the final moments of a game, because I don't think there's anybody on the roster that you say, oh, clear out, this guy's going to save the day for us. And so that's one thing I think Denver is struggling with to close out games, and that was one of the issues last night. They had a lead for most of the fourth quarter, and it slipped through their fingers at the end.
Yeah, and just from the Timberwolves' perspective, too, the way that Jamal Crawford shot, he has had some inefficient games, but 10 of 16, and he had the 1-for-4. He had a really deep three the other night, but he's one of the guys who can kind of electrify in any really lineup, because he was playing a lot of lineups with a majority of the starters. So I think you're going to see him late in this game against the Nuggets as well, and I think he's going to be one of those options where you have him and Wiggins kind of sitting out on the perimeter and Butler driving in, and they're going to pitch it out to him. And then you have the danger of when you pitch it out to Crawford, you can't really guarantee he's going to take a shot out there because he can make a move and dribble in and then make that extra pass to an even more open guy. I think a real advantage here also, and I know Paul Millsap's been out for a little bit, but just as far as a Timberwolves standpoint, he kind of seems like a Taj Gibson type player who can shoot better, just as a comparison for the Timberwolves fans. And that is really going to be nice not to have him out there. And I think Taj Gibson is going to be another guy who could have kind of an under the radar big night because of Paul Millsap and him being out of the game.
Denver's playing a lot of small ball right now, and because they have to. I mean, they just don't have, without Millsap, they have like Trey Lyles and Wilson Chandler at the four. And those guys, I think, help for some of the spacing and things, but the one area they're really, really vulnerable is on the boards. And so that's where Taj Gibson, Towns, those guys can really hit the offensive glass and get a lot of points there. And if you win the offensive rebounding battle, because Denver likes the offensive rebound as well, if you can win that battle, then you have a really, really good chance of beating the Nuggets. So that'll be a vulnerability for Denver against Minnesota.
How do you think that Denver can attack kind of that rebounding problem against Taj Gibson and Karl-Anthony Towns when, like we're saying, it doesn't seem like Jokic is going to play a lot of minutes?
Yeah, Jokic is a big neutralizer to that because one of the reasons he rates so well in defensive metric, he was the number one guy in like box plus minus and RPM early in the season, and one of the reasons is because he's an elite defensive rebounder, and teams just only get one possession against the Nuggets. It's usually they score on those possessions, but they only get one. So I think with Jokic in the lineup, they're going to have a better chance at that than with Plumlee. But you know, maybe they go to Kenneth Faried for some minutes. They have been playing small lately, but Malone has talked about when they play teams with multiple bigs or teams that can crash the boards, they have the opportunity to go big with Kenneth Faried. And then the other thing is the Nuggets are 11-2 at home. They've been really, really good at Pepsi Center this year. They've run teams off the court and worn them out. So I think this is and they have good rebounding from their wings. Wilson Chandler, Jamal Murray's a really good rebounder for his position. So I think this is a game where just the energy, I think, goes up 10% for Denver, and you get a little bit of that rebounding from the guards. But that's what's going to happen if they're going to keep those other guys off of the glass.
How important is it in this game for a guy like Jamal Murray, who is kind of a guy who's still developing, how important is it to have him play better than somebody like Jeff Teague so they can really win at maybe one of those guard spots if they're going to have trouble rebounding and on the glass?
I think the team has gone the way that Jamal Murray goes more often than not. And that's because a lot of the other guys are consistent. You know, Nikola Jokic, remarkably consistent player. So you get a lot of consistency from those spots and they win their battles, but the point guard has been up and down. Now, I will say, the last 8 games or so, Jamal Murray has really been playing a lot better. He's been playing really well, shooting, I think, like 50% from the three-point line over the last 8 games or so. So he started to find his shot, and I think it's a real possibility that a guy like Jeff Teague, you know, he could play even or even outperform a guy like Jeff Teague if he gets hot from behind the three-point line. So it's certainly an important battle.
All right, we're going to get into a couple matchups here, but we're going to have one more break for our sponsors first. So when you're looking at this game, I really like, first of all, I really like that Jimmy Butler is really taking over consistently in the fourth quarter. He's taken over games. He's had 4 games in December where he's topped 30 points. If you're looking at Jimmy Butler just trying to keep him from really controlling a game in the fourth quarter, what's a defender that you really want to see on him consistently throughout, especially late in this game?
Oh, it's definitely Torrey Craig, who I alluded to earlier. I think he really does have the tools to be an elite defender at the NBA level. Just long arms, 6'6", long arms, but really wiry strong, snakes through screens really well, and then just doesn't give up on plays. He makes so many plays where it looks like he got beat, but he just recovers and gets a hand on the ball or whatever. So I think he's the guy, no question about it, that you'd like to see covering Jimmy Butler. A little bit of a size mismatch there. Jimmy, I think, will have him. He's just a little stouter. But Torrey Craig has gone up against bigger guys and done really, really well. If it's not for him, and he might be sent back to the G League because he's on that two-way contract, they only get 45 days with him. If it's not him, I think the Nuggets are in trouble, and you probably look at Wilson Chandler on him late in games. And Chandler does, I think, an okay job in those situations, but I would give the edge to Jimmy Butler pretty strongly in that matchup.
The unfortunate flip side of Jimmy Butler averaging 25.8 points per game in December is that Andrew Wiggins has dropped to 15.2 points per game in December. If you are doing an efficient job just kind of shutting down, slowing down Jimmy Butler, is Andrew Wiggins a guy who really worries you, or is he one of the guys that the Nuggets look at as somebody who's in a cold streak and they want him to maybe shoot the ball more than anybody else? Or does he worry you if he starts to shoot the ball and maybe there's a chance he gets hot?
Well, I think what worries me about Andrew Wiggins is he played really well against the Nuggets last season. So, you know, I know that he
bad karma.
He can have some big games. Yeah, so I think, what did he average, 28 points a game in four games against Denver? That's 28 and a half. So he really had some nice games against him. He had that power dunk on Nikola Jokic last year that really sticks out. So he's a guy that I definitely worry about. And then the other thing I worry about is one of Denver's weaknesses, I think, with how their roster is constructed. One of the things I worry about with them is Jamal Murray is tall for a point guard. Gary Harris short for a shooting guard. Will Barton sometimes slides to play the three, small for a small forward. They just don't have a lot of height. And I think Andrew Wiggins is a guy that plays better against undersized guys like that, where he can post them up and pull up that mid-range jumper and know that he's not going to get his shot blocked. If Gary Harris is guarding him or Will Barton, I think Andrew Wiggins has an easy night to get in rhythm, and that's what concerns me.
He did also shoot 50% from three-point range against Denver last season, so that could be something as well if he can get hot, that he feels comfortable against this team, especially from deep. If you're a Timberwolves fan, that's definitely something that you're hoping for, that he can somehow find a hot streak again, because he has been pretty icy here in December.
Well, this is a good game for him to to get his footing again.
Okay, so As we kind of head out here looking towards Wednesday, give the Timberwolves fans one guy on the Nuggets that they should be really worried about, one guy that could really hurt the Timberwolves if the Nuggets are to win this game.
Ooh, that's a good question. I think the two guys you look at, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, Jamal Murray and then Gary Harris. Gary Harris has stepped out. He's always been a high-level role player to me, like a really, really elite role player, but not a star player, because he stays in his lane. He gets a lot of assisted threes, assisted cuts, but he doesn't create a ton of stuff. He started to create a lot, especially out of necessity. When Millsap and Jokic were both out of the lineup, he became the best player on the Nuggets roster, and he stepped up. He had a 36.9, a career high, just a couple games ago. He's been shooting the ball well, so he's a guy that you might look up at halftime and all of a sudden he's got 15 points, and you look up at the start of the fourth quarter and he's got 25 points. So he's a guy that I think maybe he's not on everybody's radar in Minnesota, but has been playing really well lately.
Just one of those sneaky stat compilers.
Yeah, and it's just so efficient because, again, he stays in his lane and he just kind of does the right thing. So really efficient player.
I feel like that should be somewhere on the Denver Nuggets stadium, because I think that's, you have a roster that's made up of guys who just aren't really going to expand outside of what they're good at, which is what makes Denver always such a dangerous team, is you don't have a bunch of guys who are trying to overextend. You have a bunch of guys who are going to fit fairly nicely together, and they're not going to step on anybody else's toes.
It was one of the best things, and then with Nikola Jokic, who I think is like a Peyton Manning type player. So if you have guys that are running their route, so to speak, he's going to find them, and that's what I think made this team so exciting at the start of the year. They haven't, because of the injuries and some of the stuff, it hasn't really looked like Nuggets ball over the last couple games. It's really just been like hustle and ugly wins, but you never know when the Nuggets are going to figure it out again and get back on track offensively.
Absolutely. So you definitely don't want to sleep on them. And the defense, too, if they turn this into a real slugfest, I think that could be an area where Minnesota struggles. I really believe that the Timberwolves are still in that zone where their defense hasn't caught up to how good their offense is yet. So they would rather have this be a high scoring back and forth than a real slugfest where you're trudging through some low scoring quarters. I think if you can get them down into that kind of bogged down basketball, that's where you really have a chance if you're the Denver Nuggets to pull away in this one.
Nuggets 23rd in defensive rating, Minnesota 26th. So you got two well below average defenses, and I think Denver's weighted because Paul Millsap, when they had him the first half of the season, they were like the 15th best defense. So you have to figure they're probably the 28th, 29th since he's gone down. So I don't think Timberwolves fans have to worry too much about a defensive battle because Denver, unfortunately, I don't think is capable of that.
And for the Timberwolves, I know that I think that Jimmy Butler, I think the whole game is going to stage for him to have a pretty big fourth quarter again, as has been the tale through the entire December. But I think early on, Taj Gibson, and like I was saying early on in the episode, Jamal Crawford as well, those will be two guys who end up having pretty big nights, especially Taj Gibson on the boards. I really feel like this is a night where he can excel rebounding. And look out for Andrew Wiggins. If he's going to get hot in one of these games in December, it's going to be this one. I think you're right. Looking at the numbers, I think he just feels comfortable against this team, especially from range. So those would be some Timberwolves that I would look out for in this game. Are you feeling bold enough to give us a prediction on score?
Oh, man. I always hate doing this. It's hard to get a read. I'm going to be a homer, though, and pick the Nuggets to win because they're 11-2 at home. They really do play like a different team at home with a lot of energy. So I'm going to go with a Denver win at 114-110.
I like it. I always push people to do this when they come on the show. I'm a gambler, so I'm always trying to figure out. I'm trying to help people guess what the over-under is for me so I know how to bet it, to be honest with everybody listening. I'm going a little lower than you. I'm going Timberwolves in a 105-100 game, just right around that 100 mark. Again, if the Timberwolves can make this a game that goes up to about 100, I think they have a pretty good shot at winning it. If it goes under 100, I think it's the Nuggets game.
That's really interesting because I almost feel the exact same way, but the opposite, with the Nuggets winning. So it's an interesting one.
Well, there you have it. That's a great look at what to expect from the Denver Nuggets versus the Timberwolves. They'll be on the road in Denver. That'll be what to expect from that game. You heard it all here first. Adam, anything to plug before we head out here?
No, you can just check out Locked On Nuggets. In fact, it's good for if you really want to get into the thick of what's going on with the Nuggets lately. My episode today will be on the last 10 games, the 10 most important players on the Nuggets roster over the last 10 games. So it's a good overview of what's going on with the Nuggets.
Excellent. Definitely go check that out. Check out everything that's going on at the Locked On Network. Lots of good content going out every single day. Adam, thanks again for coming on. It's been too long, and it's always a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me on.
This has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.